In this week's parsha, Parshas Vayechi, we see that immediately before Yaakov's death, he speaks to his son Yosef, and he tells Yosef, I am going to give you Shechem Echad al Achicha, an extra portion that your brothers do not have. According to Pshat, that portion was the city of Shechem. He said to him, you're going to get this city as a gift. It's not going to go through like the rest of Eretz Yisrael through the chalukah with a girl that everybody is going to get their portions. This is an extra city, and you get it. You get it as a gift. And indeed, this is where Yosef was buried. He was buried in the city of Shechem, and the city of Shechem is forever connected to Yosef HaTzadik. We can also understand the Shechem Echad, not literally as Shechem, but an extra portion, that from Yosef, there's going to come two Shvatim. Every other Shevet is one Shevet, but Yosef, of course, is counted as Menashe and Ephraim. You get an extra portion over your brothers. And he said to him, I'm going to give you this extra portion. I'm going to give you either the city of Shechem or the extra Shevet, because I won this Shechem, Becharbi uvekashti. I won it with my sword and with my bow and arrow. And it leads Rashi to ask the question, where do we see Yaakov fighting with a sword and with a bow? Where do we see this war happening? And he says that there was an extra war that we don't have recorded, but we know that it must have happened. After Shimon and Levi fought Shechem, all the other nations got together and came to fight against Yaakov, and he had to fight this war. And he fought it, Becharbi uvekashti. Unkelus translates these words, Becharbi uvekashti, and he says it's not meant to be taken literally that he fought with a cherev, with a sword, and with a bow, but he fought with his tefillahs. Cherev is the tefillah used against Esav, who gets the promise of al charbecha techia, meaning Esav has the koyach of cherev, of sword. Yaakov used his tefillah to counteract that, and to fight against Yishmael, by Yehi Reve Keshes. Yishmael was the person who was an expert at wielding his bow and arrow, and Yaakov was able to fight him, also using the koyach of tefillah. It's interesting because Unkelus usually sticks to the pshat. He doesn't go into drash. And the question would be, why would he translate cherev and keshes as something other than a cherev and a keshes, than a sword and a bow? Why would it be something different? And two reasons are given. Number one, usually we would say bekashti ubecharbi, meaning when we're fighting against an enemy, so you're not standing in front of the enemy immediately. Usually you're approaching the enemy from far away. So usually the first weapon you would use would be the keshes. You're going to use a bow and arrow, and then you're going to get to a cherev, which is a sword. Here it says, Becharbi uvekashti, that the cherev came first. So that's the first interesting thing that points us to this maybe is not meant to be taken literally. And the second thing is that there's an extra letter here, and we know every letter matters, every letter counts. Becharbi vikashti, it could have said, I fought with my cherev and keshes, I fought with my sword and bow and arrow. And here it says, I fought with my sword and uvikashti, and with my bow, which could be read as bekashti bakasha, that there's a request going on here. There's a hint to a deeper level that we're meant to understand. And there's so many different explanations given to this cherev and this keshes and how it relates to tefillah and how tefillah is a mashal of cherev and keshes. And I'm just going to point out a few of the different things that we can learn from here. Firstly, there are two types of tefillah. There's the tefillah which is compared to a cherev. Now, a cherev is a weapon, is a sword that does not have to be used with a lot of skill. That means if you have the sword and there's a person standing in front of the soldier and he uses that sword to attack the person in front of him, it's almost guaranteed to be successful. It just needs to be done. We have a tefillah that's written for us by the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, who told us, this is how to daven. These words are potent. These words have a koyach to them. Just say them. You don't have to say them with a tremendous amount of skill. We don't need to have the right kavanas in every word that we're saying, although, of course, the more skill we have, the better it is, but it's not necessary for it to work, for us to be in exactly saying exactly the right things at the right times, because we know which words to say. They're given to us. You just have to read them out of the siddur. That's the cherev. The other kind of tefillah, which is compared to a keshes, a bow and arrow. Now, a bow and arrow do need a tremendous amount of skill to be used, and the more kavana a person has, the more skill he has when using that bow and arrow, the more direction he has, the more thought that goes into it, the more effective that arrow is going to be when it leaves the bow. And so to the kinds of tefillah that we don't use the distinct words of Anshei Knesset HaGedolah, but we're using our own words, or our own thoughts, it's our own requests, it's our own shevach v'hoda'ah. Without kavana, this really doesn't work. It's meaningless. It has to come with thought, and it has to come with precision. The greater the effort we put into this kind of tefillah, the greater the impact. Yaakov used both types of tefillah, the tefillah of the cherev and the tefillah of the keshes, to get to what he needed to. When Onkelos is saying that he davened, the words he uses is bitzleisi uvivausi, which translates as tefillah. We're familiar with these words. We say them in Kaddish. Tiskabel tzleisein uvausahein. HaKadosh Baruch Hu accept our two types of tefillah, tzleisi uvivausi. What are the different types of tefillah? What's tzleisahein and what's va'usahein? What are the different meanings of these types of tefillah? Reb David Soloveitchik says that the difference is that when we're talking about tzleisahein, tzleisahein is the cheref. What is that? It's a type of tefillah for something that I see right before me, like when we would use the cherev, and that I know I need, and that I know I need it now, like parnasa or health or shaduchim. This is something that is present for me. It's something I personally need, and I'm going to daven for. Whereas the other kind of tefillah, the va'usahain, the va'usi, that he davened, and that we still daven, that we continue to daven, are the tefillahs for, well, either for the klal, or a tefillah that's for something more distant from my head, more esoteric, less tangible, less something that I'm looking at and I'm saying, this is what I need to make me happy. Like, for example, and we know these things are important, but I don't see it in front of my eyes, es tzemach David avdecha meheret hatzmiach, like Hashem, send us Mashiach. I know I need Mashiach, and I know that this is crucial and it's so important, but the tefillahs that we daven that are in front of me sometimes are the ones that we're davening with more, as a more realistic tefillah, because I see what I need and I see the problem and I see the solution. Hashiva shevtenu kavarishana, kavarishana. We say it and I mean it, and I know I want the judges to come back like they were, but I'm not quite sure what a practical difference that will make in my life unless I stop to think about it. Whereas a refuah and a tefillah, a refuah and a parnasa or shaduchim or health or whatever it is, I see it right in front of me. So the cherev is the something which is right here, right in front of me, that's a tzlaisi. But the other type of tefillah is more like a keshes. I don't see you when you're using the bow and arrow. You don't see your goal. You don't see what you're shooting at. You're shooting your arrows into the air. You throw it out, and I know that in the future, with the bow and arrow, it's the immediate future, but it's not something I'm looking at. But I know it's going to be productive. So when we're saying, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, accept my tefillahs, both kinds of tefillahs. I need you to accept my immediate tefillahs, and I also need you to accept my distant tefillahs. There's a pasuk in Yeshayahu. Amar Shomer, Asa Boker V'gam Laila, Im Tiv Ayun Ba'oyuy. We translate this. Amar Shomer, the Shomer is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Asa Boker V'gam Laila. He will bring the Boiker of Geula, although Vigam Laila, although we are still in the darkness of Golos, he'll bring us the Geula, he promises. How? Im Tiv Ayun, if you're going to daven with a type of tefillah for the distance, meaning if we don't just look at the here and now, the present problems we are dealing with, which we sometimes tend to do, and pay attention to the distant needs that we have, and realize and recognize that I have to daven for what I think I need, but there's so much more that needs our attention, that needs my attention right now. Im tiv ayun ba'oyuy. Don't just daven with like the here and now, daven for the future also. Going back to the cherev and the keshes, if we look in Rashi, he continues on later in Rashi, and he says, Unkelus translates the Cherev and Keshes as Tzaisi Uvavausi. And the Medrash says that Cherev and Keshes translates as Mitzvahs Uvamasim Toivim. Also, the Medrash does not take it literally, and he says he didn't actually fight with the sword and a bow and arrow, but he won it. He won Shechem with his mitzvahs and his masim tovim. But for some reason, Rashi comes up with his own pshat. He's not quoting the Medrash, which usually he does. He's not quoting Unkelus, which he often does. But he translates Cherev and Keshes, b'chachmasi utfilasi, with my chachma and my tefillah. And it's interesting that chachma comes before tefillah. And the Evan HaEzel tells us, Rashi comes to teach us that a person who is standing up to daven needs chachma as well. Which is why we start our Shemoneh Esrei with Ata Choinein LaAdam Da'as. And what it means is, what does it mean that we need Chochmah to daven? The Chochmah comes from saying, I have so much that I need and so much that I want. But if I am a Chacham, if I have wisdom, what I understand is that over and above what I think I need and what I think I want, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows much better. Which is why we say, Shirmalei Hashem Kol Mashalas Libenu, Litova. Hashem, please fulfill everything that I'm asking you and everything that my heart desires, but fill it for the good, because I am a chacham and I realize and recognize that I don't really know what I want or what I need. And that's the first chachma in davening, is to be able to turn to Hashem and to realize and recognize that He knows what we need and what we want. So before you start to daven, use your chachma, exercise your chachma to say, and if I'm davening for something that's not good for me, then don't give it to me, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Sefer Torah R translates the entire pasuk differently, and he says, "Asher lakachti miyad he'emayri b'charbi uvakashti," and says that, as we said before, we don't know of a war between Yaakov and the Amayri, but we can translate the word Amayri as coming milashan amira, speech. So I took from the Amayri, from the speech, b'charbi uvakashti. Our speech is the most valuable tool that we have. However, it's often our speech which leads us astray. And therefore, asher lakachti miyad ha'amari, I captured this koyach of speech, and with my chachma, and with my tefillah, every type of tefillah as we've explained, I've taken control over my amira, and I used it in the correct way. And with this we can understand the hesped that David HaMelech gives about Shaul v'Yonasan. And he says, Eich naflu giboirim, how did strong people fall, ve'yovdu, and we lost, klei melchama, the weapons of war. And with all of our understanding that we have now, we understand why David HaMelech would call Shaul and Yonasan weapons of war. Because any person who uses their weapons, the Cherev and the Keshes and the Cherev in the proper way, the person himself becomes the klei milchama. As happened in Yaakov's case, whether he literally fought the battle or he did not, he took it b'cherev uvekeshes. He himself, using by capturing the koyach of amira, of his speech, and using it in the proper way, he became the best weapon of war. He was the cherev, and he was the keshes. And what's interesting here, and if we want to pull everything together, is that really this double portion should go to Reuven. Reuven is the Bechor. And the double portion of the Bechor, whether we're talking about Shechem or whether we're talking about him getting an extra Shevet, really belongs to Reuven. But if we look at who Reuven was and who Yosef was, Reuven is the Bechor of Leah and of Yaakov, but Yosef is the Bechor of Rachel. And we're going to see how both Rachel and Leah use the koyach that was given to them to be the people that they are. It's only through the tefillah of Leah that she got there first and became the first wife and the first mother of Klal Yisrael. It says, Enei Leah Rakos. Her eyes were soft from crying, from the tefillahs that she davened, please don't make me marry Esav. But we can read Rakos as Aruchos. She ends up with all the gifts of Kohuna and Leviah and Malchus because of her tefillah, the koyach of tefillah. However, Rachel had something else. She had the Maisim Tovim and the Chochmah of Rachel that allowed that to happen, that allowed Leah to be the one that gets there first and indeed gets most of the gifts. But here her son is going to be zeichet to the bechira in this aspect, with this level, this is what she's going to get. What Rachel's son is going to get is because she had something also. Leah had the tefillah, Rachel had the chachma and the masim tovim, which allowed Leah to get there first and allowed Leah to get most of the gifts of the bechira. But one little part is going to come to Rachel, and that's the shchem echad, this extra portion that Yosef is going to get over his brothers.